Attention builders, August 19th, Matt Reisinger and I are teaming up to bring you a proven framework that's guaranteed to focus your energy as an entrepreneur and save you hours of time every single week. Matt knows better than anyone how important it is to push out urgent interruptions and really just focus on what matters. Not sure how many of you know this, but he had to muddle through years of chaos, being pulled in every direction, everybody needing his time, and there just was never enough of it to go around. So on August 19th, I'm going to ask Matt to pull back the curtain on all of this in this very special webinar on priority management. We're going to be getting into some real life stories about times we've both missed the mark and spent months focused on the wrong thing and probably will never get that time back. But most importantly, what we actually did to shift this. So in this web class, our whole goal is to give you the tools that you need to avoid making the exact same mistakes. If you're ready to block distractions, set some clear priorities, and crush out your Q3 goals, do not miss this webinar. August 19th, click the link in the description and I'll see you there. Hey everyone, welcome back to Contractor Evolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy. Did you know that poor project management is currently costing the construction industry over $40 billion a year? That's billion with a B. But it doesn't have to be this way. Last month, I hosted a roundtable webinar alongside Charlie Birtwistle from the Building Code podcast and two of our high-performing members from BTA who've cracked the code on running smoother, more profitable projects. You're going to hear how Dylan from Tectonic Design Build and the boys over at New Beginnings Construction systemized their project management properly, how they defined key roles for their project manager, what they do and what they don't do, and created a repeatable communication rhythm that keeps things on time and on budget, even on multi-million dollar projects. So let's get into it. You're listening to Contractor Evolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy, where we systemize contracting businesses for growth. Keep listening to learn how the world's top contractors scale their companies, build killer teams, and make more while working less. Welcome, everyone. Welcome, everyone, to our roundtable today. We got lots to get through. We'll start, though, by introducing you guys to the tech that you're on. This is kind of like Zoom, but different. So hopefully the functionality should be somewhat familiar to you guys. I want to ask is before we get rolling, that everybody find the chat box because I want to make this as collaborative as we can. We've got lots of us on video today. We're going to go through lots of discussions, but your questions, your thoughts, your collaboration with us is going to make this 10 times better. So I see you guys have already started in there. That's awesome. Maybe give us a quick kind of like, where are you from and what specific type of building, contracting, renovating, what do you do? What's your industry that you're working in? Maybe you're in sub trades. Where are you and what do you focus on? It'll help our team as we go through some of these conversations. There we go. Okay. Good. Keep it going. Everybody must submit one submittal to the chat. Demand. Then we'll get rolling. Okay. So we have a hour and a half long roundtable today. The first hour will be very focused on some just core concepts and questions that we have. The second half hour, we'll have some time for Q&A with you guys. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Overall, just like purpose of all of this is I think it's smart. And I'm sure you guys would agree that we foster a bit more collaboration between builders and just industry professionals, right? We all know something amazing and we kind of tend to just keep it to ourselves or share it with a few people around us, but we don't have a chance to like share it to the masses. So this is a pretty unique chance to do that. So between the people on deck today, all of us, and you guys in the chat, let's try to get one to two like clear action steps that all of us can utilize, big key takeaways that you can put into the business right away. And I guarantee you, because I know because I prepped this deck, there's going to be a lot for you guys in the chat to take and do. But if you in the chat also have some stuff where you're like, here's a really cool resource we reuse, here's a really good just like piece of information, here's a good article, whatever it is, feel free to share as well. And there'll be a lot of us online that will be able to utilize and benefit from that too. So it doesn't just have to be the people on camera that just bring some value today. So be ready for that. As the conversation progresses, if you feel so inclined to share, absolutely do. And if you've got questions and things you want to get answered, we're going to do that at the last half hour today's meeting. So make sure you put them in. We've got the Breakthrough Academy team here on deck in the chat. They're going to be grabbing those and ordering them and getting them ready for the end. So you can put them in at any time. I won't answer them probably right away for you, but just be ready to kind of throw them in there and we'll come back to them near the end. So that's the plan. Okay. Some shocking stats, some things to think about while we're doing this. Why is this so important around project management? Because I think that this is one of the key little areas or elements of a construction business that can kind of make or break everything that you do. right? It's the pillar between all things people, process, profit, all that kind of stuff. Your jobs aren't small. They're complex. There's a lot that goes on in these things. And if you don't do them well, the company doesn't really work long term. And some shocking stats on this. So in the construction industry, we have $30 to $40 billion a year lost annually due to poor productivity. And I really do think project management is kind of at the core of a lot of that. That's like, just let that sink in. Like if we, all of us did a little bit better, 2 to 3 to 5 to 10% better, what that would do to that number to bring it down, right? And I'm sure you all get it. You know your world. There's a lot of wastage in how we do things, right? And it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. So that is what we're doing, and that's what we're trying to fix. At least make a little dent in that number today if we can. Overall agenda, we'll start with who's who in the zoo. We've got a few of us on deck besides just me, so let's go through some intros. We'll get into some discussion, obviously, between the five of us. And then at the end, if you're interested in any of the solutions we have to offer, there's Breakthrough Academy here to talk all about business operations and systemizing your contracting business. There's BuildTrend here to talk all about the systems and operational processes that they built into their software. And our members here that use both Breakthrough Academy and BuildTrend that can talk specifically to how they use these things. If you want to talk to us, let us know at the end. We'll give you a chance to book a time with us. And then, like I said, we'll get into some Q&A. So to help with today's talk, I want to make sure that you have something to get away and take and use. So there'll be templates provided through a lot of these discussions. We're going to be showing some screenshots and some processes and some things that are used from goal tracking and methodology to ideal candidate profiling and job descriptions for a project manager and, you know, communication plans and all kinds of stuff. There'll be a goodie bag at the end. So there'll be a link. We'll give that probably about the hour mark of this webinar. So just make sure you look out for that, and we'll give you a download package to not just learn about this stuff, but to start to implement it in the business right away. So look out for that as well. And let's introduce who's here. So first, we've got Dylan from Tectone Design Builds. You're in Colorado, right, Dylan?
That's right.
All right. Yeah. And you've been Tectonic. Say again, sir?
Oh, I just bet Tectonic Design Build.
Tectonic, sorry. You've been with BTA since 2022. You've been busy working on a lot of stuff. We'll get into that today. And I'll let you share your story in a sec because I've got a whole slide for you. We've got Toby and Bradley. So you guys are New Beginnings Constructions, or NBC, correct? You guys do construction and exteriors, right?
Yep. We have like a remodel renovation division and then an exteriors division.
Cool. And I got a slide for you guys too to get into it. Is it true? I met you guys at an industry event years ago. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah. So Danny, I met you in Charlotte at a Highway to Hell event.
And, right.
Yeah, you were promising the world. I was like, man, this sounds too good to be true. And here we are about 6 years later. So
here we are, my friend. I remember Charlotte. That was a beautiful place. That was like big rolling hills. I was like, I haven't been back since, but I got to come back. And then we've got Charlie, super special human, who is a data scientist for BuildTrend. And you're now the VP of core operations over at BuildTrend. I was talking a bit about what you've been up to as of late, but you're here to help with micro trends and just kind of look at things through the BuildTrend lens, which you guys have a massive bird's eye view on the industry. So thanks for being here. And yeah, Charlie, any thoughts?
No, just fired up to be here. Like we talked about before, one of the functions underneath me at BuildTrend is our project management function. So I always joke that I get way more out of these types of things than I'm able to give. So I just appreciate being a part of it here.
It is a good approach. I think like I prepping for this took some thoughts. So I think all of us, like, it's not just about us giving you guys information. Let's all share. There's a lot here. There's a lot of brain power even in this webinar online. So that's that. And then there's me. I'm Danny Kerr. I'm the co-founder of Breakthrough Academy. We've been around for 10 years, just systemizing contracting businesses for growth. And so we systemize basically, or we focus on the business side of contracting and help make sure the actual back end of your operations is smooth and clean. So that is our world. So Toby, let's start with you guys. Toby Bradley, yep. Give us a bit of your story. What's been going on? Why are you here?
Yes, with Bo. We started about 19 years ago in business, and we really wish we would have found Breakthrough Academy about that time. But spent a lot of time, a lot of our years, just really trying to figure it out and learning kind of the hard lessons that it comes with in running a business. We joined, we have BuildTrend for about 12 years now, I think. And then we've been in BTA for about 5 years. And both of them in their own right have helped us transform our business in a lot of ways. So
appreciate you guys being here. This is, it would be a wealth of knowledge. Just in our prep call alone, I was pretty impressed with how far you guys have come even since we met back in Charlotte. So that's good. Mr. Dylan, who are you? Where you come from? What's been going on?
Yeah. I'm from Michigan. I think I was reflecting on my evolution story before this, and at a certain point in my life, decided to take up carpentry instead of going to college and just really wanted a tangible value of skill. And so come up through this evolution as carpenter, and so many people start on a trade and start a business. And then through this journey, discovered that, like, oh, wow, really enjoy business and entrepreneurship. And so I like to say I'm like a decent carpenter, a good entrepreneur, and really focused on systems and processes. I think there's like that first slide you shared, the 30 to 40 million lost in efficiency. There's so much potential to make the client experience in the construction world great, and it doesn't require this massive lift. So we have this huge focus on the client experience and really shifting the way and the how we build. And BTA has been foundational for that. And the builder trend is also like, we're so integrated. It's, I can't imagine doing what we do without a construction management software.
You guys have been star students, both of you guys. So I'm stoked to have you guys on. And yeah, you guys have really dove in deep. What do you say? Feet first, and the both of Builder Trend and BTA. So stoked to have you guys get into what you've been doing over the last few years. So this goes out to everyone in the chat. Let's start with this. This will help our team as well. What is the biggest challenge that you guys have when it comes to project management? So when you think about all things going on from the people that you're hiring, how you're training them, how your project managers are managing projects, the wastage and use of material, the coordination of sub-trades, like think about it for a second, but type in the chat, what is the biggest challenge that you guys are facing? What are the things that are like grinding the gears a little bit that feel just like this is just, everything's good except for this one thing or these two things? Keep going in the chat. That helps us a lot. And we'll go through our conversation later on when we come back to questions. We'll see if we can source some of this as well. Charlie, I'm very curious on your end. You talk to a lot of people. You get to see Build a Trend users coming in for the first time. You get to see users that have been around for 12 years, especially being on the data science side of things. What do you see as the biggest challenge going on in the industry when it comes to project management?
Yeah, I see a lot of people hitting on it in the chat here. So I'm excited to dive into, you know, some of the pain points and solutions that we have to discuss through. But the biggest one is communication. And if I were to go one layer down on top of that, I would say just proper expectation setting internally within your company, expectation setting with the client, expectation setting with your trade and subcontractors. The communication, I would say, is the biggest piece of the project management cycle where things can really break down, even if you have a lot of the other existing structures and processes in place. But the good news is I think we have some fantastic content and obviously fantastic co-hosts here to walk through how they solve that pain point, and we can all get better together.
We have a whole session on communication, so good news. Okay, cool. Let's get into this with, say, Dylan first. I would love to ask you this one question just to get some context from where you've come. But early on, I imagine there were some pretty big signs that your management process was pretty broken. Can you just walk us through like when you realized things had to change and what was going on at the time, and just paint us a bit of a picture?
Yeah, I don't think it was ever like a, it was like a slow burn, like a lobster in a pot. You don't realize the butter's boiling till it's boiling. So yeah, some things that were clear signs of our process being broken is constant reactivity and not being proactive. Right? I think project managers, they're like the 30,000 feet. They're thinking months ahead. They're thinking finish line. Another thing, as I was managing, I was doing the managing. It's impossible, in my opinion, in my experience, to be in the weeds managing projects and then scale your business and scale your system, right? And, you know, tell their symptoms and that, like missed deadlines, budgets exceeding what they were budgeting for, repeated mistakes is another big one that I think is a sign of the broken process. And then like having to do reworks or poor trade management, poor site.
There's like a lack of somebody being fully committed to this role. Like you, it sounds like you're straddling the owner role and the actual project management role yourself. And then any system you were building wasn't solving the issue because it kept repeating itself. And every project, that same issue kept coming up.
Yeah, and I would argue like if you're doing it, you can't work
on the business and in the business simultaneously.
Right? What do you know?
Yeah,
yeah, totally, dude. Toby, Bradley, what about you guys? What were some just things, some early signs or signs going on where you're like, things need to change? This is too much. What was going on?
Sure. I'll take the first stab at it. But I think you just notice that communication is broken from the start of the project, maybe from the sales to production handoff to the project manager to like the site supervisor guys. It just seems like communication's broken. You're repeating yourself over and over and over again. Lack of processes, you know, the same jobs, you know, you do very similar jobs, but they're kind of all being done differently. And just lack of like repeatable processes and, you know, and kind of the chaos that kind of comes from that. So I think for me that's what I've seen mostly is the communication side and just, you know, a lot of chaos within the job site, within the job, you know, the life cycle of the job, if you would.
You know what, I don't know if you guys felt this before, but like we bring in obviously a lot of members and I have these first conversations with them. Builders have this chip on their shoulder where they're like, look, maybe if you're doing window cleaning, you can build a repeatable process, but every one of our projects are so different. You could never build a process around us because they're all so unique. Anything you have to say to that? Because I'm sure that a few people feel that.
There's definitely processes that you can build into your day-to-day to make things repeatable. And every project is unique in itself when you're doing a renovation because they're not the same. It's not a track home. You're not the same three options go in every single house. So setting up some of these processes to help alleviate those problems like selections within Builder Trend, schedules that are built out so that you have templates with to-do lists inside of those is not going to run the project, but it's going to give you a runway of a way to focus on where you need to direct your attention so that these projects can run smoother than just being very reactionary all the time and like, oh crap, we forgot to order X, Y, and Z. Now it's on back order, and this project is going to take 2 months longer than we thought it was going to. You can alleviate a lot of that stuff with having some of these processes set up.
Yeah, and I think on the communication front too, I think just having like a very like laid out communication plan, and it could be internal or it could be with your customer. Like, hey, you know, weekly we're doing these you know, reviews of jobs or with the customer. And so, yeah, every project's different, but that doesn't mean that we can't change and modify our systems to help make that process as smooth as possible.
Yeah, it's kind of like building out a standardized framework and then allowing the filler to be unique, but that framework is the same.
Cool.
Charlie, you see this with people all the time.
I think you guys are all hitting on it. It's controlling the controllables. If a project is a river flowing, you don't want to slow down the river, right? You just want to build up the bank so that you can control the direction that it's going. And so the processes that are repeatable, we've seen stuff even as simple as setting up the file structure the same exact way on every single job. So you constantly always know where to go to for information. Little things like that can go a long way. And eliminating a decision here or there ultimately leads to another decision you can make down the road.
Awesome, dude. Yeah, thanks for sharing. All right, so let's get into some stuff. And I think before we go into all the minutia of the processes, let's talk a bit about the main person or people that are running things within the organization. Because I think if you get this right, these processes can be utilized. I think if you get this wrong, you're kind of working already with flat tires. So let's talk about project managers themselves. And one thing I've noticed with a lot of our members, and you guys can speak to this too, is like, what is a project management role? Because I feel like this varies widely between, you know, everyone's opinion, basically. So I thought we'd start, Bradley, if you want to maybe kind of give us some thoughts on this. When we were prepping, what I thought was really like just good for you guys is you guys have a production manager role,
managing your project managers, and then you have site supers, which has forced you to have three different like delineations of a role. When it comes to the project manager, where does their role start and where does it end in the sense of like, what are they taking care of and what are they not actually taking care of?
You know, they're taking care of kind of all the behind the scenes, if you will. They're not out there on the job site swinging hammers, doing any of that. They're very on the back end of things, kind of in the weeds, controlling what is going to be happening 2 weeks, a month, 2 months from now, rather than getting caught up in what's happening today and for the rest of this week. You know, occasionally they will have to go out onto a job site just to check on it. For the most part, I would say they're 90 to 95% of the time they're in the office and they're hammering out all the details that allow your project to continue running smoothly while delegating all of those things to those site supervisors so that they can actually get out there and perform that work.
Yeah, I like to play the project manager is almost like the CEO of the job. You know, he has direct reports, which would be the site supervisors. But ultimately, you know, the project manager is running the high level there. And really, they're just tasked with the jobs that they're tasked with. They're not necessarily tasked with business forecasting and things like that. And you know, planning out, you know, annual strategic planning, things like that, unless we bring that up. But basically, their role is the blinders of the jobs that they're working on. And like I said, they're more of like we kind of consider like a CEO of the project.
That's right. Yeah, there's bumpers, right? It's like they're not in the minutia day to day. They're also not running part of the company.
Yeah,
they're running the job as if it was their own company.
Yes. Cool.
Maybe in the chat while we're doing this, do you guys want to give us some examples of things that you're like, this is what I see a project manager role being? Just this is part of the sharing thing. I would love to see what you guys see this role as, maybe what you see that not as. But I think, Bradley, Toby, for just general clarity, there's bumpers and it's around the project itself.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. Yeah. Dylan, when we did our prep call, you described it as the Mozart of the project. You want to explain that?
Yeah. The Mozart of the project orchestra, the PMs are not the ones playing the instruments. For us, this, you know, similar analogy, the CEO, but our production manager had our production team, they do a book club, one of the books we've read and practices extreme ownership. And so I see the PM as the owner of the production phase. They own 110% of everything. A trade partner makes a mistake, it's on the PM to own it. And for us, like the number one thing that the PM is responsible for is the client experience and satisfaction overall. Just kind of coming back to like the mission and intention of the potential of making remodeling construction awesome. So with that being said, then, you know, falling into kind of the typical PM rules of overseeing budget, the schedule, communication, is they're delegating effectively, managing the field execution. They're managing the site super, delegating our in-house labor when they need it. You know, the PM is not, you know, not expected to run the job alone, not expected to make up for a core project development. So we're really intentional in the designs we produce. We have the process and PM handoff and all of our assets are standardized so that, you know, these PMs, we train them on our process. It's, it allows them to do much more capacity than trying to scramble through details. It's all in one place.
And you had mentioned just the communication. Is communication the most important, you think, in their role? Or what's the most important part of their role?
Yeah, I think communication with the clients is everything. I'd argue that's the most important thing. Everything else you can kind of figure out. But our communication process, you know, how we're utilizing the daily log, the weekly check-ins with our clients, the daily photo dumps, kind of everything we're leveraging in Builder Trend and like our communication process is it really makes, you know, our clients just like, whoa, I was expecting this to suck. It's like that, you guys were finished ahead of schedule.
It's great. And then Charlie, you want to You want to add some thoughts to this? How do you see this role defined? Actually, I'm curious on your end. How well do you, or how often do you actually see this role well defined, and how would you define this project manager role?
Yeah, I mean, that's the million-dollar question right there, right? I see it defined all the time, right? Because you have to. How often do I see it well defined is a totally different question. And I think it's a tricky landmark to get to in the state of your business to be able to have that trust in your project managers, to view them as a CEO of the project, to view them as the extreme ownership. So huge credit to Dylan and Toby and Bradley to getting there. And I know we're going to transition more into how do you define that scope? How do you find the right people to do that? But especially starting out a business where you're likely the project manager for the first few jobs, being able to take that hands-off approach and empower your people to run that project and do that job for you takes a long, long time and a lot of dedication to get there.
Yeah, it's an interesting balance between not dumping on somebody and being like, here you go, good luck.
Right.
This is hanging up for failure, and not holding your cards too close to your chest and being like, no, like, let me do all of this for you, and not really even requiring that role anymore because you won't give them enough freedom to do it.
Exactly. Very well said.
Yeah, it's good. Okay. Let's go to the next question for time here. So hiring, I imagine, and I know because I've worked with a lot of you guys, but is kind of like a key pivotal part of this. And I think you can get this right or you can get this wrong based on how you actually go about attracting the right types of people, interviewing the right types of people, setting the right expectations with them, having a job description that clearly defines, like we just spoke about, what their role is and what their role is not. Because I think this is one of those roles where you can try and look for a superhuman that can do all things and get the wrong fit, because nobody can do everything. Some people are specialized in certain things. And you can also go the complete opposite and get somebody that's completely unqualified and not even realize it till it's too late because you didn't take enough time to get to know them. So what have you guys learned about project management hiring? And Dylan, I know when we prepped, you're like, I've actually made more mistakes than anything on this, but like, I would love to hear about those mistakes and the things that you've learned through that.
Yeah, I think that delegating the hiring of the PM to my production manager was like single-handedly like the best decision. You know, and I think because I didn't come up as a project manager in my own company doing it out of necessity versus like our production manager having 25 years in the industry, having been a PM for 15 years, it's exponentially more experience than I have. So as far as like, I think just hiring the wrong fit, understanding the character traits of the PM was a big, and also like, we didn't have the project manager process dialed in until our production manager came in and he and I could work on it together and then train that on our standardized process of how we manage or what our expectations are.
Yeah. So it's like, if you don't have the role defined or the process for that role, it's easy to miss because you don't realize the skill sets and background required for that person.
Yeah. I mean, we had like the JD written, but it's like the job description, you know, it's like the starting point. But yeah, you don't have the like, you know.
Was there any kind of like big aha moments where you're like, right, that's why we've been getting it wrong?
Yeah, hire for experience, not because I think they're a good person and I like them.
Okay, cool. Toby, what would be the number one trait that you would look for in a project manager?
You really need someone who's detail oriented, who can problem solve, who can, you know, execute a plan. For us, we try to, in the hiring process, we try to identify those key attributes in someone and also make sure that their values align with ours. That's one of our key things with any hire, to be honest with you, is they have to align with us value-wise, or it's just a no-go. You know, we try to interview based on those things, and we try to ask questions that really drive home, you know, those attributes that we're really trying to uncover and try to find, you know, do we see that there's a history of that, you know, with them. We were actually fortunate enough, we were able to promote one of our site supers into this role. And he's really thrived since being promoted into that role. Not all site supers, not all carpenters are built or kind of, you know, made to be project managers, because it's a completely different role. But we did see a lot of that detail oriented, very rigid with his schedule, very the things that you kind of want to see, somebody who pays attention to the budget very closely and kind of problem solve some of that. And we saw those things in him, you know, all throughout the time that he's worked with us. And so, yeah, so for us, we were able to promote within, and Bradley works with him directly. So he can kind of speak a little bit more to it, but I think it's been a good move for us.
It's absolutely been a good move for us. And just to, you know, kind of touch on some of that stuff that Toby said, not every carpenter or site supervisor is going to just automatically move up the ladder and become a project manager for you. It's really hard to break a lot of those people from wanting to be out in the field and have too much time away from the office managing the portions of the jobs that they should be managing as a project manager. So, you know, when you've got somebody that you think may be worth promoting up, like, there needs to be really big talks about, like, you're going to be off the tools. Are you okay with that? Because you can't be in the field for 15 to 20 hours a week, because that's taking away from our end goal of driving this project to the finish line.
Yeah. And I think having like laid out what that role looks like and what those deliverables look like for the project manager, you can talk through some of those things with them. And so, like, this is what the day in the life of a project manager looks like. And, you know, if they're squirming in their seat while you're telling them that, then okay, they're probably, you know, it's probably not going to be a role they're comfortable in if they want to be out there in the field and kind of get their hands dirty. Kind of like Dylan said, that we don't need the people to play the instruments. We need somebody really to direct that orchestra. Mm-hmm.
You know, early on in our business, we would hire anybody that, when they applied, they said they were a project manager, right? And everybody thinks they're a project manager. And just kind of going through those processes and interviewing people, I think, like, one of the greatest questions that we started asking people is, like, immediately in the interviewing process is, what do you think are the main attributes of a project manager? And getting that out of them before you tell them anything about what you think are the key attributes in being a project manager. And you could eliminate them and have a 15-minute interview at that point if you didn't like what their answers were, instead of sitting through this hour to hour and a half long interview. And, you know, and with that, like, asking questions that they have to answer and you listening. So you're talking 15 to 20% of the time and you're letting them talk the rest of it and not giving them, can you do this? Oh yeah, I can do that. Like, let's dig deeper into these questions and you tell me why this is important.
This is massive. So you guys are just talking about the optics of the term project manager. And how everybody in the industry does, we just talked about this, but it's like everybody coins it differently. So if it's on the resume, if all you're looking for is that experience, you're going to miss the entire context of what that role is. And not leading the witness is what you guys were also just talking about. Are you this? Are you that? Do you have this? And then you can say yes or no to it all. Letting them describe their perspective of what this role is and being able to match whether or not that's what you've drawn up for that role.
Correct. Yeah, because I think in construction industry, project manager is kind of like a catch-all phrase. You know, it really can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. For us, we choose to have it. We define it as that CEO of the project, if you would. So I mean, that's what we're looking for. You know, it doesn't, honestly, we know some other folks in the industry who have hired PMs who are completely outside of the industry. But they had that leadership ability with the scheduling, with the communication, with the planning, problem solving. So, like, that lends itself through a lot of different industries that doesn't necessarily beholden it just to hiring somebody in construction. We were fortunate enough to be able to promote somebody there. But in times when we have been looking, even when we were looking to promote him or wondering if that was a move we would take, We were looking for people, you know, in all sorts of industries. They didn't have to come from construction in order to excel in that role.
This is really interesting. Actually, in the chat, can you guys share this? What was the for anyone who's ever hired someone outside of the construction industry, what was the previous role of that person? Maybe just type it in. It'd be really curious to see. Because I hear that all the time. It's the role of project management has a lot more to do with coordination, communication, connection with people in leadership than it does being the best builder in the world. So,
well, they're typing in the chat here. I have to share one of my favorite stories. We had a guest on the Building Code podcast a couple years back. This is, you know, right after post 2020 COVID, everything shut down. They found a really good pipeline of project managers from wedding coordinators. Talk about communication, scheduling, managing clients / bride expectations, bringing a project together. They hired like three or four that, you know, everyone was canceling their wedding. People were looking for jobs. And apparently the wedding coordinator pipeline to construction project manager is a strong one.
Amazing.
I mean, you don't want to mess up a bride's wedding, right? So if you can handle that pressure, like you should be able to handle the pressure.
Might be the only, client that has higher expectations than a homeowner could be a bride on her wedding day.
Yeah, no doubt.
Manage lots of details very quickly under high stress situations where personal emotions are involved.
Deal. Yeah, when you say it out loud like that, I mean, what's the difference?
Good. Okay. That helps. I think that, and thank you guys for contributing the chat. I think that helps as well. It just gives us some insights. If you guys haven't, maybe scroll up and look at some of the industries people have pulled from, but these are great things to look at outside of just the industry we're in. So cool. All right. Let's talk about project management itself. So we talked about communication being the big one. So we picked that out. Dylan, I'm going to start with you on this one, but like, how does communication make or break your project manager and their process, and maybe even just the evolution of how your communication has evolved over time would be really helpful.
Yeah, I think how it makes it, I think it's everything to the project. I think without the solid communication, like PMs default to this reactive mode. So I think it's a foundational piece of creating proactive, forward-thinking project managers. Trying to think the evolution again, I think this comes back to our production manager and getting him online, on board, and establishing some of these standard processes. Like, we didn't always do the weekly client meeting. That's been a big, huge thing. We'll set a recurring Zoom meeting, and we can either meet on site with them, Zoom. And a lot of times we tell them, it's like, the goal of this meeting is to be boring. We're just giving you an update. We're hurrying, like, you'll in the back, and we're not going to bring every little challenge to you. We're going to bring solutions if there is a challenge. So that's been, I think, a huge evolution. And then really diving into a standardized daily log format within Builder Trend. That's a requirement. It's a you saw some folks chatting with KPIs in the chat, but it's a KPI that we kind of hold of the team accountable to. And then we recently stopped, I think this year we stopped getting to daily logs and instead put them in a photos folder, which allows on the client's Builder Trend dashboard, they get a stream of photos, whereas like the daily logs didn't do that. So I think that the weekly check-ins and an agenda beforehand, or recap if they were, the daily logs, and just like this, we also use Slack internally. So I think good communication isn't just client-facing, but it's also team communication. So seeing the team communicate, handle problems kind of in real time through our Slack channels has also been a huge benefit, and kind of establishing those standards and how we communicate and why, it really, in a lot of ways, reducing the amount of communication, but making it more concise has helped in ways too.
Great. Bradley and Toby, you guys, I would love to hear first here, like, what are the big communication kind of like processes that have been game changers for you guys? But I also want to know, like, how you guys make sure this is kept up for every project when things get busy. Kind of two questions for you guys, but one is like, what are you using? What's working? And then how do you make sure it's maintained long-term?
So we do have a communication plan that we go over with our customers in our sales to production handoff. So we'll go meet with the customer at their house. The sales guy comes, the production team comes. They're going to get to meet the project manager. They're going to get to meet the site supervisor. We kind of have all of this stuff laid out for what our hours of operation are, what happens if there's communication that needs to be had outside of the hours of operation. So there's expectations that if you send me an email at 9 o'clock at night, don't expect 9:05 to get a response back. Just, you know, kind of setting some of those guidelines to manage the expectations there. And then we'll go through things like some of the key vendors that we'll be using, that we'll be introducing you to. We'll go through how we're going to be communicating through BuilderTrend with daily logs and using our schedules within BuilderTrend. And when our site supervisors will be having like milestone walkthroughs with you, just to, so that everybody's on the same page at the start of the project. So we all are in that understanding of who's supposed to be contacted at this point, if you're not getting answers from this person, where that hierarchy is to step up and reach out to that next person, because maybe you feel like you're not getting the answers that you want to get in this process.
And Danny, you asked about how do we enforce that. You know, with us, we also do weekly or biweekly meetings with our team, GSR meetings, and then also just production meetings. And, you know, those KPIs of like how many daily logs have our team been filling out. If we need to address that as being addressed in those meetings, either as a team, as a whole, or if there's a issue that needs to be dealt with, you know, individually, we're going to that team member and letting them know like, hey, this is the standard. This is why we do that. This is what happens when we don't do that. And this is why I need you to change. So I think it really is a matter of just, you know, setting those standards and really just cultivating a culture inside of your company that values communication, because ultimately, you know, it can really make or break so many different aspects of your company, from your communication to your team, like inter-office communication, to your vendors, your sub-partners, and then also to your customers, of course. So it's just vitally important. And our GSRs, our production meetings, those things right there are how we're holding our team accountable. And we're doing those on a regular basis. You know, we try not to miss a GSR for any reason. If we have to miss the time, we try to reschedule it within that day or two that it's supposed to be on the schedule. But it's kind of like one of those, you know, we have to have these meetings to make sure that everybody's moving in the right direction.
Hey, you guys said two things. One, just around the communication plan, that it's done before the project starts. It's like clear expectations. Everybody's on the same page, and there's a verbal and written commitment to how things are going to be done. Signed off, right? You guys were saying earlier.
I bring a copy for myself so we can read through it. I bring another copy for the customer. They sign off on it. It comes back to the office. It gets scanned. It gets put in files so that it's there. And if we need to refer back to it to talk to a customer, then like this is what we agreed on. So if there's something going wrong that we need to address, well, then let's figure out where we should be doing this at.
How often does it come up where people break the process and you have to bring them back to the document?
It probably comes up more often than I would like to admit. And a lot of times, because it can just be reactionary, you just step outside, or somebody doesn't mind answering an email at 8 o'clock at night because they're at home scrolling through their phone and they don't care. Where I don't want to put a customer back and give them a bad taste in their mouth because they're communicating outside of it. But if then it comes to, why didn't you reply to my email last night? Then you can have that conversation in normal business time and kind of like, all right, well, here we are now, you know, it's now in the middle of the day here and we're having this conversation and like, this is when this should be happening.
And honestly, like, there's a reason why everything's in the communication plan, right? And there's a foundation as to why it's even in there in the first place. You know, the reason why we don't want our customers calling us at 9 p.m. is because most likely we're putting our kids to bed or we're enjoying a couple hours with our wives. You know what I mean? So
I think having that communication plan is something that you can fall back on, like, well, you know, I'm sorry we're having this issue, but the reason why, you know, I didn't get right back to you is because, you know, I'm at home and I'm respecting that time with my family. I do the same thing with our employees. I tell our employees, like, do not call me unless it's an absolute emergency. When I go home, like, my family needs my attention. And honestly, like, I want to afford them the same respect. And so, you know, it really is just, we try to make it a cultural thing throughout our company. Obviously, we're talking for the PM to the customer, but, you know, even to our own team members as well.
It gives you permission to have critical conversations. And I don't have to be as thrown off by it. It's not as argumentative. It's more of a collaborative, like, hey, we talked about this, so let's get into how we can do this better moving forward. And that's not such a, like, you never agree about that. I didn't know that. And now you're having the conversation, not for the first time, right? And more comfort around it.
Cool.
Obviously, real quick, Danny, incredibly important to manage the project, but a nice little cherry on top as well too is we've seen a lot of our customers talk through their communication plan in the sales process and use that as a differentiator from them amongst their competition of, hey, this is how we're going to manage your business. This is the cadence and expectations that we're willing to set. You're always going to know exactly what's going on at this date, at this time. And we've seen clients that have won deals and set themselves apart from other competitors because they take the time to call that out on the front end and get ahead of that, you know, area of concern from a homeowner or client of, hey, am I going to know what's going on? Who do I text? What do I do? It's just an additional cherry on top of actually managing the process in a more efficient manner.
It's huge. I've thought of doing a reno for a lot of years. The biggest objection I have to starting it is the amount of time I have to manage it with someone managing it for me. And it's such an unknown for me. It's like, I won't even dip my toe in until I have more clarity around that entire process. So that's a really good point, Charlie. Thank you. It's good. Yeah. This is a small, but very important document, isn't it? It's not huge, is it? It's a couple pages long, but it really starts to set out the precedence ahead of time. I want to go back to GSR quick. You talked about this briefly, Toby, but like, what is this? Because everyone's asking. I can see it in the chat. Can you explain more about this, what meeting rhythm is and how it works?
Yeah, so depending on the role, from the PM, we do GSRs with them weekly. And so it stands for goal set review. So for the PM role, like, they have a revenue number that they're trying to bring in each month, each quarter. You can break that down each week. And in that, like, there's different goals that, like, hey, you know, we need to have this project ready to, you know, to punch out, or we need to have this project wrapped up because we're ready to start this next one. You know, so there's goals, there's weekly goals. And what we're trying to do is keep focus and hold tension to those. And this has been one of the biggest tools for our business that has really helped us really get a hold of, you know, the direction throughout the year and have a good pulse on how well are we doing as it relates to our annual goals. So we do these for our sales guys, production guys, project managers, but it really is just a document and a meeting that's done weekly to go over goals, go over numbers. It also gives a good time. If there's something specifically that they need to, like, lean on you for, and like, man, we hadn't had a chance to connect on this, but I really need your help with something. It also, you know, gives you the time to do that, right? As opposed to them calling you maybe, you know, when you're at home with your family or something like that. Like, it gives a dedicated time to really address any issues. Or maybe there's some, you know, some implementation things that the PM is helping you work through that communication plan, and you need some time to really go through that. A GSR is a perfect time to do that as well.
Awesome. Yeah, this is a process that I think since 18 years old I've done, right? And being a franchisee years ago to working as a general manager to working as a VP, it actually helps the lines of communication go all the way up to the top of the organization and back down again within a week. It also helps you organize time. If you think about how much time you're coordinating of people, right? Of subs, of your project managers, of your technicians, of your office staff, it's like, actually, I don't know if you guys have done this before. You guys ever calculated how many hours you manage in a week as a company?
No.
Big.
Yeah.
You take the total amount of people, let's say whatever, 10, 20, 30, including subs, times it by 35 to 40 hours a week, and you suddenly realize, like, this is what sets the tone for a good or bad week, which which is that $30 to $40 billion of lost productivity. I believe a lot of it happens in a lot of these types of things. So,
yeah.
Just so everyone knows, you see this free template thing here. We're going to give everyone this resource. This is a BTA-based resource, and this resource on communication plans in the download package. So you guys will get access to these, and you can thumb through them a little more and have a look. So that should help. Let's keep moving here. So let's look at some of the systems that are being used. We've kind of did a bit of a prelude there on those two. But Dylan, I want you to kick off on this with scheduling, because this is something you use in BuilderTrend regularly. What is this? Well, how does it work? What's it doing for you? How's it leveraging? Are you leveraging this thing, basically?
Yeah. Yeah. We're having side conversations in the chat about this right now. This is like everything to us. And our approach in the scheduling overall is, so we wrap up a design, we sign the build contract, we enter into what we call mobilization. We onboard the project manager. They have time to plan the project. So they're taking anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks to build out their schedule. We have a mobilization process. They meet with the client a couple of times. There's a couple of agendas. We really get to understand the expectations, build out the schedule, and then we push it live in BuilderTrend. So at any given point, the client can see all the way through the finish date. And then we leverage the color codings in our schedule. Green is confirmed. Yellow is in progress. Blue is field team. And then red is like TBD. So things are constantly moving and adapting. But overall, like when we're building, when our PMs go in these schedules, there's a lot of contingency built in here so that we can always meet. And last year we had 94% of our projects finish on or ahead of schedule, all while showing the clients like full schedule transparency throughout the process. And like when they go into this and they see like, wow, there's, you know, 200 items in this, they're really thinking through all the nitty gritty detail. There's like this level of like, okay, cool. I don't need to sweat the details because they're sweating the details. Like I'm looking at milestones that I care about. Like when can I see the cabinets or when's the finish date? And then if there's ever schedule slippage, we're like, if there's ever a finish date slippage, we're talking about that with the clients in the weekly check-ins.
Dude, you just said something amazing. So 94% of your projects last year were on or ahead of schedule.
Yes.
I would give us, be honest in the chat. How many of you have that? Or actually, no, just give me a percent and be honest with me. A percent of projects last year that were on or ahead of schedule. Give me a rough number. Be honest. Charlie, this is native to BuilderTrend. Give us some thoughts on this.
Yeah, I think really the true value of this comes when you fully commit to utilizing it. Like Dylan just, you know, walked through his process there, putting in half your schedule here or not tying any of the other features inside of BuilderTrend to your schedule, then gives you, you know, a half-baked solution, which often yields half-baked results. So any BuilderTrend users out there that are interested in utilizing the scheduling feature more, I'd highly recommend reaching out to your coach, get some time set up on the calendar to go through and how to utilize this, how to tailor it to your process. And I think that there's going to, you know, tenfold pay for itself just utilizing this to its fullest extent.
Awesome. All right. Another good system, Dylan, that you use is your client dashboard. Give us some color around this.
Some color. You do. Yeah, I think to Charlie's point, like all in on BuilderTrend. We're just all in. Like Sean, our production manager, is I think he's in here. It's been really like one of the most rewarding things of this whole journey of having a construction company is it's gotten to this point where like I'm grateful to be a part of it. Like Sean has done things with BuilderTrend that like I didn't prompt him to. He's like, I just see so much potential in this, right? So we're hauling, right? And we're constantly chatting with them. Like, you know, that sometimes there's most of the time there's good changes. Some of the time there's like weird updates, you're like, what the hell? We didn't need this. But we're just committed to it. So like this is a client dashboard. They log in, they see this, the photo streams, that little bit at the bottom is pulling from the schedule, the daily log there in the middle, the project financials. Like we're fixed price, so it's really just, you know, contract price changers, you know, remaining balance, blah blah blah. And then we're leveraging the messages. So I think, you know, Toby and Bradley were talking about client communication. And in our agreement, in our contract, we say, like, hey, we'll respond within 24 hours if the communication's within Builder Trend, you know, Monday through Friday. Got you. If it's happening without that, like, we don't have standards. We're pushing clients to communicate in here. We really get them to get integrated in the app. Like, they love it. There's some quirks, but, like, they love it. Like, it's, like, 90% of there. And, like, the clients love it. They love the interactiveness. They love the transparency. And it just really keeps them informed without us having to, like, do all this work. Like, we have a process, and then it gets summarized here, and then they can see it, and it goes a long way.
Basically, it's something that a client can come to at any single time without having to call you, without having to text you, without having to email you. They get a lot of their answers here, and it's updated automatically through the other systems built into Builder Trend. So it's just automation happening for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Charlie, anything you want to comment on this?
For sure. I think one of the recent releases Builder Trend went with a few weeks or months back now was also just a weekly client update, which is kind of an aggregated view of what you're seeing here from the client dashboard with everything that's gone through the system in the past week. Oh, there you go. Look at this. I mean, I can let Dylan speak to it here, but I think that's just another area where we're trying to streamline some of that communication. And if you go back to the expectation setting I talked about earlier, it's delivering the same type of content the same type of way at the same time every single week, so the client knows exactly what to expect and where to look for it. It's a super cool update.
Yeah. And like, another great example of, like, my team just started using this. Like, I didn't know this happened, and then I logged in, like, oh, what is this? Oh, wow, this is so great. And then, like, back in, I was like, okay, how are we using this? This has been really cool. I think, again, just like client experience. And this is what differentiates us from, you know, so many other builders. And it's like, hey, this is what to expect. Here's how we're going to communicate. This is all that you're going to be able to see through. So
it's so great. You know, if you haven't been using it and you have Builder Trend, like, you need to dive into it. If you were sending out client updates weekly without using this, you're wasting your time. Like, it would take an hour and a half to create what this will create for you in 5 to 6 minutes. Like, the AI writing all of it and just taking from your data logs and plugging them in, you just have to proofread it and make sure it's what you want before you send it out. What an amazing additional feature that they just kind of sprung on us, and we found it and haven't stopped using it since.
It's interesting, eh? You put thousands of people into one system that all have very similar needs, and you can spend, Charlie, I don't know the budget that Builder Trend has, but many millions of dollars over many years and solve an entire industry's issues. What do you know?
That's the goal, but it only works if we can hear the issues. So again, anyone in the chat, highly recommend reaching out to your coach. We have a really good feedback loop with our customer success team directly into the product pipeline. So if there's additional features and releases that you're looking for, let us know about it, and we'll get it added to the backlog.
I think what's cool is, like, and we're going to move into Q&A here in a second, but what's cool is like, this is what's going on in the industry right now. You know, when you look 10 and 15, 20 years ago, pretty much everyone was grassroots level in their business. They were kind of figuring it out for themselves and problem solving and trying to just, based on their own intelligence alone, try to figure it all out, which we don't have to do that anymore. Like, people don't have to reinvent the wheel. And I think through Builder Trend, and I watched this at Breakthrough Academy too, like, we are able to, like, bring a lot of people to this enterprise level, or at least closer to it, through the standardization of all this learning that's happening. And you won't have to hold our cards close to our chest anymore. Like, everyone can share in this and win and benefit. Maybe Toby and Bradley, you guys want, like, you guys have been a part of, like, Builder Trend and BTA for a while now. Like, what's changed for you? Why is this combination the right fit between these two organizations?
You know, we weren't sure if it was the right fit at first, because we in Builder Trend just kind of dabbled in it for a long time. We used it to get a contract signed, to log change orders, and to document some pictures, but didn't really dive into it. So for like 5 years, we used whatever 5% of what Builder Trend could offer to us, until we figured out that we needed to, we're paying this good money for this product. Let's dive in. Let's go to Builder Trend University, figure out what we're doing. Instead of trying to figure out workarounds, let's let them teach us how we're supposed to use this system, right? But I think our eyes got opened up when we became members of Breakthrough Academy and system. So then you're like, oh crap, we have this system and it is not very systemized for us. Now we really need to dive into this and take it on full head of steam.
It's kind of like Builder Trend had the solutions, but you didn't have the, say, like, path to follow to get it in a way that made sense. What a structure in your organization to put all the pieces together. Is that a good way of putting it?
And you know, if you're using it half-ass for the first 5 years of using it, you're always looking for a workaround. And instead of it, like, learning it how it's supposed to be done so that you don't have to find these workarounds 5 years, or, oh, I'm so used to doing it this way. Oh, they got rid of that feature. How am I supposed to do this now?
Yeah. There's a standard way. I always think about, like, Honda Civics. Like, there is the best in class way of doing things. And Honda Civic, although it might be quite boring, is one of the best built cars ever created in human history. Right? The design, the way, everything. And there is a way to run a construction company that can and should be standardized, and you don't have to go too far off script to be able to make it happen, because it's been built. So,
but you got
to
put the work in too. You know, it's not just Builder Trend says, hey, you've got our software now and everything's going to be great. No, you got to put the work in. You got to get the right people in your company working on the right things at the right time so that you can all work together.
Dylan, anything to add? Because you've been a part of both for a while. What's any comments on how these two mesh together?
I think I was just thinking of, like, a funny clapback to the Honda Civic and thinking about, like, the Ford Taurus. And do I have anything to add? And yeah, I think it's consistency too. Like, it's and starting small, like little bite-sized chunks. We didn't get here overnight. It's been years in the making.
How many years do you think you've been really focused on this now?
Since our production manager came in, so like two.
Cool.
Two, we really, really transformed the production process in that time. It's been great, because it's like I have ideas I could delegate, but then Sean has been so great at just, like, owning it. And it's not all on me, and it's not all my responsibility. And that's been a huge, like, relief.
Right. Yeah, it's bite-sized chunks. It's slow consistency over time. And it never does end. You open up more time to work on the business over time. And I'm still working on BTA. Like, it's not gonna end. We're going to get you guys resources and some way to access and connect with us here in a couple minutes. So just stay tuned for that. As far as Charlie, you want to speak a little bit to Builder Trend? I'll speak a bit of it to Breakthrough Academy, what we do and how we do it. And then let's get some guys some resources. Let's get them a way to connect with us. And then we'll go into Q&A. Sound good?
Yeah, that sounds great.
What is their struggle there?
Appreciate it, Danny. I think one last thing to add on your last note there, small bite-sized chunks. One of my favorite sayings I actually stole from you. You came and spoke at a BTU a few years ago, and you said, always come up and be really focused about what your one thing is. Like, mm-hmm. Figure out what the one thing that you're trying to improve in your business right now. And I'd say that's always my my coaching point to people talking about Builder Trend as well, is pick the one thing that you want to do really, really well and nail that one thing, and then move on to the next thing. Right. So I just wanted to give you credit for providing one of my favorite lines that I say all the time now, that I learned from you.
We could use it right now. Oh, sorry, I'll interrupt you for a second. Everyone in the chat, type in your one thing. I have everything we just talked about, because we talked about a lot. What's the one thing you're like, we can make change in this? Communication planning, is it selections? Is it, like, what is the thing that you would like to make some change in? Anyway, keep going, Char. While they're doing
for
that.
Sure. I'll give you the quick Builder Trend pitch here. For those of you that aren't familiar with Builder Trend, we're an all-in-one project management and estimating solution. So really our goal is to be your company's system of record. Everything that happens, everything that you buy, everything that you pay for, all the payments that you receive, all the materials, all the communication, streamlining your project management that is meant to be done in Builder Trend. And the goal is to allow you to run your business and not have your business run you. So when we talk about systems and processes, we're the tool that allows you to roll out those systems and processes. And Danny's getting ready to talk through Breakthrough Academy a little bit here, but I think what they do a fantastic job is teaching people how to implement those. Change management is really hard. I think that we could do an entire another session about change management and rolling out tools like this and getting buy-in. But really, you know, Build a Trend is meant to be the guardrails that allows you to feel more comfortable and calm the chaos.
Yeah, it's been really neat working with you guys and actually working with your CS team too, and just seeing how much work you guys have put into building an amazing solution. The CS team is just like shaking their head, being like, they just don't even know what they need. they don't even know how to access it. It's all there for them. So that's what we do. We help with the implementation of a lot of core systems, everything from how you track and manage your financials, your metrics, define your roles in your organization, hire people effectively, build standardized training and onboarding and processes for the entire company. So there is a way to do all things, optimize sales and marketing, and then have actually a plan, like a business plan, a strategic plan that helps you know what numbers you need to hit, what organizational structural stuff has to change this next fiscal year, and how you're going to do that by quarter, by week, by day, and how all of that ties into the long-term vision of who you are and what you want to achieve as an entrepreneur. So we take a lot of time with our members. I mean, we're very hands-on. We've got pre-built systems galore. We've got basically a community of 1,000 entrepreneurs that work within DTA right now. So we all work together. And then we assign you a coach as well that works very directly with you. And these coaches are industry-specific background type, you know, ran $200 million construction sites prior. Now they come and actually help our members, which is amazing. So there's a lot to who we are. There's a lot to who we work with. It's just a screenshot of who it is, but we don't work with everyone. So we do look for the right fit, and we will vet you as much as you vet us. But between, you know, utilizing Builder Trend to its fullest and just systemizing your business in general, you don't have to reinvent the wheel anymore. Like, the solutions are there. And I think a lot of people spend time trying to figure it out. Like, we've got a pretty neat little collaboration I've found, Charlie, just with Builder Trend and BTA. It's like, we need your tech and you guys need our like push to implement. And between those two, we're getting guys like Toby and Dylan coming out with like a pretty well-rounded organization within a couple of years. So it's good, man. This is for everyone. So if we can get a link on the screen, I want to make sure you guys get some resources from today. So you're some stuff we didn't even talk about, but employment agreement, standardized employment agreement for a project manager, that communication plan template. I saw a lot of you in the chat. They're going to utilize that. So that's awesome. Your GSR and onboarding. So your GSR and accountability process. So like an actual like weekly log of your meetings with your project manager and how that should run and an actual template to run those meetings. Construction daily huddle agenda, which we talked about. Actually, we didn't even talk about that. So there's a whole bunch more in there we didn't even get to today, but a bunch of stuff to help you guys. So click on that link and start to fill this out. And then within that, you'll see two buttons. One's to connect more with Breakthrough Academy. One's to connect more with Builder Trend. If you haven't implemented Builder Trend fully and you realize you probably should, you should probably click that link to connect more. If you realize you probably need someone helping guiding you with the implementation process and change management is not, you know, something you've done well for a lot of years, or you're in the process of doing it right now and you feel a little bit like, I could just use some guidance, definitely check to connect with Breakthrough Academy. For us, we are not going to bring you in right away, but we will have a really good conversation with you first and understand the pain points where you're at. We're going to flip the script from me talking to you for 45 minutes, and we'll see if what we do would help you. And for Builder Trend, I imagine a lot of you guys are users or part users or have considered it in the past. Consider this a really good conversation or a really good chance to re-engage the conversation and go deeper. So take some time, fill that link out. Should have popped up on the screen. There's also one in the chat. Kind of free reign for 2 or 3 minutes, but Dylan, Toby, Charlie, any comments on this, or just encouragement or just realizations and learning?
Yeah, I would say, you know, if you're going to commit to doing it, go all in. A half-hearted effort will only prolong your ability to implement some of these things. And, you know, that is one of the things when we, Danny, when I originally met you, I was very skeptical, honestly. I had our CPA actually come in to the meeting when we did.
Remember that?
You guys? Yeah. And because we had been burned before, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I really don't want to, you know, go down the wrong path again. And it's something we prayed about. And you know, I think it was one of the biggest blessings that we've had in our business. And, but, you know, we chose to go all in. We chose to really you know, dedicate the time. There were nights that we were spending without our families where we were working on the business because we couldn't do it during business hours. And we did the hard things that it took to do. And we're still, I mean, we still have to do that, right? And I think with Builder Trend 2, it took us to a point where, you know, we decided, man, we got to go all in. And Dylan kind of mentioned it, like, he noticed people on his team were, you know, taking the reins and really trying to implement things that they were seeing in Builder Trend. Our project manager, he's done a fantastic job of that. He recognizes deficiencies that we have. And, you know, like a good project manager should be, he is problem solving those issues. So, you know, I cannot recommend both of these platforms enough. It really has transformed our business. And but I would encourage you, if you decide that you want, like, go all in, don't do it half-heartedly.
Dylan, any thoughts?
Yeah, I think that like I'm very little. And I think in my journey, at least, is it's like we don't need to influence or control every single thing. Like, even if I would do it a different way, if my team is stepping up and addressing the root of the problem and it makes the client experience better, great. Like, cool. Like, it might not have been the way I thought about it, but that, I think that has been a huge evolution for me. And then like getting out of the weeds as much as possible. Like, I don't, with the production side of things, like there have been most of our projects this year, like I haven't stepped foot on until they're done. And that's a huge milestone for me. Cause it's like, it's happy clients, beautiful projects. So just getting out of your own way and really pushing to work on the business and focusing less in the business.
That's huge, man. What you just mentioned, actually in the chat, how many of you love all this stuff, but you're kind of like, I don't really have enough time to do most of this. Give me a yes or no in the chat. It's something I see a lot with members coming in, and it's one of the first things we have to work on is be able to alleviate your time through understanding what's causing you the most amount of time. That's the lowest amount of skill activities that you're doing. It's very possible to break free of it, but it takes a bit of time on this. And he's like, actually, Toby Dylan, any advice on that? Because that is the first challenge for most people to really dive into either of these platforms.
To break free?
Yeah, just like, what was, like, when you look back, like, what was the change maker that actually got you out of the day-to-day a bit more?
It's an evolution for me. Like, something I was thinking about is, like, it was a challenging evolution, like, from carpenter to PM. I felt there was so much of my worth tied up in, like, banging the nails. So, like, when I was PMA, it was like, oh, I'm doing it. And then from, like, PM to, I mean, I still do the call it product development. Witnessing the evolution of it, and then find, like, I am the most valuable driving the business, working on the business, influencing, managing our directors. So there's like giving yourself grace and recognizing that, like, if that kind of value worth challenge dilemma comes up, because again, I go back to like so many folks start construction companies coming up through the trades, and like there's a lot of worth they've built for themselves there. Yeah, just like giving yourself grace and permission to do that and allowing that evolution to happen.
Yeah, you feel valued doing the thing you've always done for so long, but it's also your biggest enemy.
Yeah, because you're getting in your way. You're linchpinning. You're standing in the way of scaling if you're doing the thing that you could easily hire some.
What is your time worth? What is your time worth? It's a lot more than 50, 60, 70, even $100 an hour at some point. It's worth a lot more than that. So how many tasks are you doing that should be hired out by a project manager, by a production manager, by some of you, it's even just like field staff to take on some of the projects themselves. So cool. Let's do one more question, then we'll move to questions with everybody. And if you haven't yet, make sure you fill out that form. So I think there's a link, maybe just put it back in the chat or throw it back up for everyone, but make sure you get those resources. And if you want to chat with us, make sure you do. But final question for you guys before we go to Q&A. I think we're already getting to this a little bit, but what advice would you give yourself 5 years ago? What do you guys think? Dylan, do you want to start, or Bradley? Either way.
Yeah. I, uh,
I'd hire a production director sooner. And I think it's always scary to like hire these bigger positions. But and then you like you talk yourself out of like, oh, I can't afford that. But it's like, no, actually you're buying back your time. And there's a lot there. I think taking ownership and delegating well, right? And one the last thing I'll say there is like anticipating change and like not resisting it. I think I've had the opportunity to do that well. And now it's like, oh wow, like I'm grateful to be a part of this and co-create and evolve this company with people who care.
Change can be hard and scary for people, and it's easier to avoid it and just go put your head down and do something else. But if you actually look at the impact the last couple of years that you've had on your business through just like a very, like, I guess it's a decision you made, Edon. It's like, I am actually doing this versus pretending to do this. Or just some people are on this webinar. They're probably going to watch the webinar and feel good because they have it's called shelf help because they have the thing on the shelf now. But to actually do the work is a massive, massive decision. But once made, changes everything. Eh?
Yeah.
Toby Bradley, what advice would you give yourself 5 years ago?
Well, I guess kind of how what I've alluded to is like I would sign up for both of you and dive in earlier than we got involved with you guys and really give that dedication to it all. But some of that stuff then also comes with defining the roles of who you need and the roles of the people that you already have so that they have an understanding of what their responsibilities are within your team. And then with that, you can build out a org chart that then says in one of the great things BTA did for us is at the very beginning of it, the painted picture, you're 5 years from where you are right now. What do you want to be doing? Where do you want your business to be? So that you're setting this goal to have something to work towards, to break it down. And how do I get there in 5 years? Right. So just that kind of advice and having somebody holding you accountable to trying to achieve that is amazing.
Yeah. And you know what we get? Go ahead, sir. I interrupted.
I would say for me, I mean, I kind of said it earlier, like go all in, you know, but along the way, like I have a tendency to do this. I complicate things. I try to make things more complicated than they actually should be. So I would just say, you know, the KISS, keep it simple, stupid, like go all in, but do your absolute best to keep it simple. Keep it, you know, build these processes that are repeatable. Don't overcomplicate it. You know, I look at the way our company was before we started with BTA, you know, and the way it is now. I'd say hire on your values, like define who you are and what, you know, what you want your company to stand for and how you want your company to operate and really hire and interview and build off of that. I think some of the biggest change we've seen here is when we didn't do, like Bradley said, like we didn't just hire anybody that could, you know, fog a mirror, like, okay, you can breathe. That's great. Now, I want somebody who really is going to be aligned with who we are and represent us with our customers, our community, and our values the way that we want them. So go all in, keep it simple, and then, you know, be true to who you are and try to hire to that.
You know what I think about both you guys just said is like beginning with the end in mind, getting very clear on where you're going. And then literally I watch this construction business all the time. They can be so good at just managing the projects. And I'm like, you need to take that same methodology and apply it to the business as one giant 5 year long project to go and get your 5 year vision down to your 1 year plan, down to your quarterlies, hit the metrics, hit the implementation processes. And people need some steering along the way, obviously, but it's like often the problems we're solving are the things that are just right in front of us versus knowing if those problems to be solved are even relevant to 5 years from now. And how does it all connect? So. Cool. We should go to Q&A because we are running a little over on time. Let's dive in for our team on the back end. I think I have some questions sourced here. Holy, I've got a lot. Okay. So let's get to a few questions. We might not be able to get to all of them. I do apologize, but let's start up at the top. Tyler Lewis says, how do you get subs on board and sending bids through BuilderTrend?
Yeah, I think Carly was actually in the chat sending some, you know, more detailed responses. So in the sake of keeping things quick here, I'll say what we've seen really successful adoption look like is taking the onus, reaching the hand across the aisle, invite them into your office to walk them through how the process works through BuilderTrend, bribe them with some donuts or something. And even more extreme cases, we've had clients that have put together, you know, full stacks of resources for them, whether that be Loom videos that they can send them on how to utilize BuilderTrend, or something as simple as a printout that they can use to utilize as well too. I think a lot of the value of streamlined communication and internal communication through BuilderTrend makes, you know, simple gestures and taking a little extra time to show them the value worth it in the long run.
Rosario Manio says, how much float is built into your schedules?
It's probably for Dylan, Toby, or Bradley.
I don't know. I'd have to ask our PM.
Yeah, that's fair. It's an honest answer.
I mean, I would say just kind of a rule of thumb, if your painter tells you it's going to take 3 days, put 4 or 5 on it. Not on top of that, but make the whole duration of that 4 to 5 days. And if at the beginning of a project you tell somebody this is a whatever, a 2-month project, but you put all this fluff in it and you finish it early, you look like a rock star. As long as they're okay with that timeline on the front end of it, have the fluff built in.
This kind of goes along with that question. Eric asks, how do you handle change orders with project schedules and being on or ahead of schedule?
We recently added a custom field in the change orders that notes the schedule plus or minus. So it's like documented, but oftentimes if they're bigger change, like, so yeah, we've noted the change order. We talk about it on a weekly check-in at the client. And like when you go live with the schedule and build them trend and set the baseline, when things change, you have to denote why. So we also leverage that feature. We would note it in the slippage. Tracker of like a change order and the why. And because we're also tracking like if it's a client focused schedule slip or a builder focused schedule slip. And on that note, one thing that we started doing with our marketing is we tell folks we have a $10,000 guarantee. Is if we don't finish on schedule, we'll give them $10,000 cash. And the fine print is like, if it's our fault, right? If they want to remodel another bathroom, like, they're not getting their $10,000 credit in the middle of a project.
I need a change order for $10,000.
Yeah.
There's another one. Do any of you give your project manager bonuses?
Yes.
Maybe give some color to it.
So kind of like Toby has talked about our GSRs. So we have these KPI metrics that are in there. You want to make these bonuses very easily trackable. You don't want to make it too complicated so that it's a pain in your butt to come up with these. But we have gross profit percentages that they need to hit quarterly. If they're hitting them quarterly, they're getting quarterly bonuses.
And those are, do you have them in the GSR? I've often, the way we built that template, it's like they're about their KPIs, their goals they need to hit. Do you put their bonus amounts in there too? Or is it more
even there? There, it's just something that we're reviewing. And no, it should be though, Danny. Thank you.
Yeah, Danny, I mean, we've revised our GSR document over the years to be more customized to our business. We have kind of like two different businesses, and one, the exteriors and the renovations. So we've kind of revised it over the years to kind of match what we're looking for. This kind of goes into that, you know, probably overcomplicating it. We need to keep it simple. We have another document where we track those things, but we can go in and we can look at profitabilities inside of BuilderTrend. We also use QuickBooks, so we can look at things there too if we have to see. But that's typically how we pay out a PM's bonus.
Cool. Here's a good one. Actually, I'm going to do a podcast on this one soon. How do you consolidate conversations across multiple channels, email, text, WhatsApp, calls, daily logs, messages, into one or two streamlined systems for better management clarity.
Well, I think having a process like a standardization, like what goes where, internal communications, Slack, client communications, bullet train messages.
That's right. What if the, you're using primarily, Dylan, just like Slack and Builder Trend?
Yeah, Slack internally, Builder Trend. Yeah, Builder Trend messages externally. Okay. And like, you know, with it, we'll do like Zoom meetings for the weekly checkouts, but like, you know, we don't text clients. I shouldn't say exclusively, like we give a little leniency to our PM, like depending, you know, we have a older client. So we can accommodate, but the standard is set. And then when you have a standard, you can kind of deviate a little bit because, you know, you can do it with your eyes. So when you add a little different process in there, it's not like wrecking the assistant.
Okay. We might have lost Toby and Bradley. Can you guys hear us? We lost your video.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Perfect. Okay. We'll just pretend we see your faces. Greg Horner says, would you suggest a dedicated supervisor when you have a project that is $2 million or more? If so, does the cost need to be added to their supervision for the project? I mean,
absolutely. You need to charge. You have to charge for that person being there. You know, they're not doing that job for free. And there needs to be compensation added into your quote for that person to be on site all the time.
I think for me, this comes down to like, and I've come to the realization that it doesn't matter of like in your P&L, where are their expenses? Are they above the line or below the line? And for us, the superintendents and PMs, because we do fixed price, are below the line. So we do charge a management fee, but I don't get into the nitty gritty of trying to calculate how much. At the end of the day, I make sure the gross margin of the project is hitting the goal of our gross margin. Then I don't worry about it because money in, money out. It's worked well for us. And it's like, again, I went back and forth and I've come to the realization it actually doesn't matter where you snack them within the P&L. That's been my experience.
Yeah, so you're including it in your overhead and you're baking that overhead cost into every job to kind of feather everything up. Is that how you're doing?
Yeah.
Eduardo says, what are must-have SOPs for a project manager?
Don't all go at once.
Again, I feel unqualified to answer this one. Like, I would ask Sean and lean on him. I think just off the cuff, like an SOP would be, like our procurement process. We have like a builder trend, master builder trend SOP of like how we make POs, how we make bills, how we label receipts. And so like the back end tracking of job costing, I'd say is foundational for like leveraging the budget feature. And that's one of them.
Okay.
I think for us too, like making sure that we nail the sales and production handoff, mm-hmm. that is a very systemized thing that they have to go through to make sure we have everything in line before production actually takes that. So sales plays a part of that, but then the production PM, he also, you know, double checks to make sure all of those things are in place. And then that way he's set up for success from the start of the project.
I'll give a broad framework to this, but I just know how we organize them in our playbooks. It's like there is processes around pre-construction, processes around during construction, and processes around post-construction. And so when you're building out them, just to like think about those three key stages and do you have, you know, the project roadmap built through these SOPs at each key stage document. What else we got here? Jim Grant, do any of you charge for estimates on jobs over 1 million before contract? And do you have pre-contract agreements that you could share? 55% of the companies in the US are doing this now.
I have to say, and we're design build, so we charge for the design planning process. But I'm a huge advocate of everyone charging for pre-construction because you're investing time, the money, you're developing relationship. It's like, if you're really going to put together a detailed budget, that takes time, you know? And then when folks like, why, you know, a truck in a truck isn't charging, it's like, you could just really sell your value and the why behind why you charge and how integrated you are, involved you are, and how you're committing to this. Big fan of charging for, I mean.
Do you have a method to that? Like how you charge?
Well, again, we're design build. So it's like, our method is like, it kind of averages like 8 to 10% of the construction cost. There's a bit more in the back end. We have our designers kind of estimate their hours, and our architect, we have sort of a kind of pricing sheet we use for him. So, you know, on a $450,000 project, our design planning fee is going to be about $40,000. That's in addition to the build, and that's a separate agreement. So, and then baked into there is like the project developer fee as well. So I think when you're just doing, you know, development, working with the architect and designer, the fee's a little different, but I don't have any insight to that because we don't typically do that.
Okay. I've got one more and I'll get us wrapped up here. So Robert League, are weekly client meetings in person or virtual?
Either. I would prefer for it to be in person, but a lot of times people's schedules don't work out for that. So the easier method is then to meet through Zoom or whatever that is. You know, there are key milestones where you would like to walk through with the customer, or you need to walk through with the customer in your projects that should be non-negotiable. We have to find this time to meet. But just on a weekly cadence, like, I don't think it's important to meet face to face weekly at the same table or at the project with the customer.
It's more important that it just happens. You have that time together. Yeah. Another one here. So, does the PM do pre-construction? It's more of a role based.
No, not for us. Like I'm currently sitting in what I call the project developer role. So like this role does all the budgeting, scope of work, working with the designers and architects to, you know, we have a couple different budget spaces. So the PM gets handed a dial in budget, all the estimates from trade partners, and the PM picks those and does POs and plan out and schedule. Cool.
For us, we will involve the PM occasionally, kind of on a per situation basis. If we have a project where we need to speak very specifically to the production aspect of it, where it makes sense to bring in the PM to speak, you know, about that process and about how we can excel in that area, we find it beneficial to do that. Occasionally, the estimator will need to, you know, bounce some things off of the PM just to make sure that, like, it's realistic and we're capable of achieving it. So we will bring them in for that, but that's kind of the instances where we would do that.
Okay. Another one come in, Robert Barras. How much volume do your project managers manage?
2.5 million.
Average job size for that?
Average job size for that is about 70K.
Okay, the smaller. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question. It's been to like set a number to figure it out because it's a balance between the job size and the revenue. But I think it's like 3 or 3.5 million in our average. Our AJS is 450. So like there's a sweet spot in there. We're figuring it out this year. And essentially it's like we found that our PM with two supers can manage about 6 to 8 projects simultaneously, which is going to be greater than that 3 million amount. So it also depends on the PO. So I don't have a clear answer, but the KPI for this is 3 million.
What you guys are pointing out, you gave a bit of barriers, which is good, but like what you guys are pointing out is so important. And the planning and the work required to do a smaller project like 70,000 versus 400,000 isn't that much different, is it, guys?
Nope.
It's similar, right? So it's the question is actually a little more like how many projects can a person manage at any given time? And it's a bit of a moving target based on some of the size, but it's actually about that more. isn't it? Yeah. Any comments on that one? Two projects, three projects at a time. How many projects can somebody manage at a time before things start to break down? Five?
So our site supers will manage anywhere from 2 to 4 projects at a time. Now, we'll say our project manager may have 14 on his plate, but they're not all in the same stages. So they can work through those. It's not 14 of them are starting in 2 months and we have to get all this set up. There may be 14 projects going on at the same time that he's responsible for.
Cool.
There's different phases require different attention.
Okay. We have to run soon. So what's one more final call out? If you haven't yet, make sure you get your templates, book your time with Build a Trend, book your time with Breakthrough Academy. Let's chat. Let's see how we can help each other. I think there's a lot here that you guys have provided. Toby, Bradley, Dylan, Charlie, guys, thanks for your time. That was awesome. There's so much.
We appreciate you having.
Yep. You made my life easy. I got to just hang out and ask you guys a lot of questions. But not just thanks for being here, but thanks for all the years of hard work and commitment to doing this and being actually like not only good stewards of BTA and Build the Trend, but like just being good representatives of the industry. You know, you guys know this. We all know this. Like this industry is changing. And it's not easy to do that change, but you guys are amazing examples of what can be done. So thank you.
Thank you, Danny. Appreciate you.
Okay. Well, let's have a good week. It's Wednesday. It's hump day. We'll figure out what you're doing for the rest of the week. And everyone else online, thanks for being with us. Thanks for engaging. Hope to chat with some of you and we'll see how we can help. And thanks for being a part of this. Okay.
Yeah.
You guys.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Contractor Evolution. If you've already subscribed to our podcast, consider sharing this episode with another contractor that you think needs to hear it.